So today as we start, we're going to read a rather long passage because it's a story and we want to get through the whole story. So I'm just going to go ahead. We're going to read this whole passage in John 11 and I'm going to make some comments as we go through the story. And then when we get to the end of the story, we're going to apply it to our lives. Just to let you know where we're going, what's happening. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It's a story many of you will be familiar with if you've been in church. Some of you probably even saw the flannel board version of this story, and some of you have no idea what that means. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." And I just want to make a little highlight there before we move on. Jesus, when he was human here on earth, he was human in every way. We know at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We see him as a baby in a manger. We don't have a lot of information of him as a child, but he was a baby. He was a toddler. He was a child. He was a boy. He was a teen. We have like one story of him when he was around 12 years old, and we don't have much more. He was a young adult. He was a young man. In every way, he was just a human being like all other human beings, except he's God the Son, the Messiah on earth. But he lives his life in a very human way. And in that sense, he had friends. I liked how it said, "your very dear friend." Jesus didn't just float around with the perfect perm, being all ethereal all the time. He lived his life, he made friends, he had close friends. Some of his friends were closer than other friends, and that's okay. I believe, we don't really see it, but you see it in the Gospels, he's friendly to everyone. He's friendly to people who believe in him. He's friendly to people who don't believe in him. The only people Jesus does not really be friendly with are the religious snobs who are threatened by him. They had this religious system all set up, and they don't, we've seen it over and over already, and we're going to see a lot more of it. They're the only people we see him be upset with, the religious people. So I like to give like a mini message for those of you that grew up Methodist and only want a 15-minute sermon. Here's the mini message, and then I'll get to the other, sorry, Methodist, I didn't mean to say that wrong, but sometimes it's a powerful 15 minutes. But here's the 15-minute message. Be friendly to everybody. Be a friend to everybody. Be a good friend. Have close friends. Jesus wants you to have close friends that you hang out with and do things with. And don't be like the religious people. The religious people weren't friendly. The religious people had this holier-than-thou attitude that they looked down on everybody. They looked down on Christians or believers at that time. They looked down on non-believers. They looked down on everybody. Don't be like the religious people, because they don't draw people to Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus. Be friendly to everyone and have good friends. John 11, 4 through 16. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" And Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. We don't really know there if Thomas is expressing faith or being sarcastic. It's one of those, when you get a text, you don't know what the tone is. And you don't know how to answer because, are they serious? Are they not serious? I can't see their face. We don't really know what Thomas was saying. But Thomas says, well, let's just go too and we'll die with you. If you're going to go get killed, we'll go with you. It's interesting here. Jesus already knows that Lazarus is going to die, but his story will not end in death. And it just seems so uncaring. If you've been in church all your life, you read that and you go, yeah, I know the story. But if this story is new to you, you're probably thinking, man, that seems uncaring. These are his close friends. And he's just saying, no big deal. And he stays away for 2 days. He's not doing it because he's uncaring. He's doing it because he's all-knowing. He knows the end of the story. He knows how it's going to end. But, and this is important for us, y'all, God knows the end of all of our stories, but look, he lets them go through 2 days of grief. He lets them. Sometimes he knows the end of our story, but he's letting us go through things. Why? Maybe he's teaching us a lesson. Maybe he wants to draw us closer to him. Maybe he wants our faith to build. But sometimes he knows the end, but he's letting us go through things. There's an old song, Jesus knows all about our struggles. There's not a friend like Jesus. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows more than the doctors know. He knows more than the counselors know. He knows more than the pastors know. He knows more than you know. He knows what you're going through. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. He knows the reasons, and he knows the outcome. So you can trust him. If he knows all of that, even though you're in the middle and you're waiting for him to come, waiting for him to move, you can trust him in every situation. John 11, 17 to 32. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, kind of like what Martha said, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha and Mary believed with all their heart that if Jesus had come, he would have healed Lazarus. Lazarus would be well. They believed in Jesus. They believed he was the Messiah. They believed he was God the Son, that God could do anything through Jesus. Now, if you've been here for many years, you know that many years ago, I preached a sermon, and you know, this just came to my mind, so some of you need to hear it, or it's just the coffee speaking. But I read this analogy one time where people said, you know, I go to church, and I go week after week after week, but I can't even really recall too many of the pastor's sermons, so they must not really be feeding me. And the person said, how many meals did your mom cook for you and make for you your whole life? How many do you remember? But they all nourished you. They all fed you. They all nourished you. Over these 25 years, I can't remember the messages I preached. I don't know how you can, but there's a few things that have stood out that I've said. And one of the things that have stood out that keeps coming back over and over, and some of you have said that I really needed to hear that, and I'm going to focus on it today, are the three levels of faith. God can, God will, and I still believe. So we're going to talk about those through this story, and we're going to relate them to our lives afterward. They here are expressing the first step of faith. You can, God. Jesus, you can. You can heal him. Whatever you say, we believe God can. So they've reached the first level of faith. But let's go on. John 11, 33 to 37. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, so this word for weeping here is a loud, vocal, physical weeping and wailing, a deep anger welled up within him. And I looked at that word anger, and some of the other translations don't say anger, they, you know, frustration, or he moaned, or he groaned. So we don't know exactly. In the NLT, it says anger, but I don't want you to see that as he was just, you know, ranting, and he wasn't. A deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. And that word for weeping is more of a quiet weeping. It was a different word in the original language. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? In other words, well, if he can do whatever, why didn't he do what he could have done? Why didn't Jesus do what I know he could have done? Is the question we ask him many, many times in our life. We all have. We've all said, okay, God, I believe you can. Why aren't you? Why didn't you? So we ask that question that they're asking, because a lot of times, y'all, our prayers, and I say pray honestly to God. Tell God how you want your prayers answered, as long as you end it with, but you're God and I trust you. But we have ways we want our prayers answered. And sometimes we get frustrated if he does not answer them in our time or our way. Do you know why we have that issue? Because we've never gotten over the issue where we chose to be gods in the Garden of Eden. And we still want that. We still want to be gods enough to control God. Okay, God, I'm going to pray. And your word says out of context that if two or three gather, we can make you do whatever we want you to do. Out of context. That's not what that verse says. Doesn't say you can get two or three, but I've worked in the kind of churches where we did that. We got two or three thousand together, and we told God what he had to do. And we stood on that word. Well, your word says we're two or three. It's out of context. But we'll do that. We'll have prayer sessions. We'll fast and pray. We'll sing songs. It would break my heart when I would see this, but I've been in some churches where we just did this, and it broke my heart then when I was in the middle of these services. And the one thing that just always stands out to me, I don't know who the family was. I don't know if I even really knew them at that time. It was a big church. But there was one of the elder gentlemen who was oxygen tank, and he was sick and was dying, but we weren't going to let that happen. So we called the family up front, and for weeks we stomped on the devil, we sang the songs, we declared, we took authority, we did all the things you're supposed to do for this family, and we made it. It became like a big deal. We were going to defeat Satan, and the man died. And I remember, I don't know if it was the next week or a few weeks after, I remember seeing that family that a few weeks ago were in the altar declaring we win, because we made it sound like if he lives, God wins, if he dies, Satan wins. We made it sound like that. And I remember seeing that family sitting in the back row a few weeks later. And they weren't up front. And their loved one had died. And it just broke my heart. But that happens because we want to be God. And we're having a hard time letting God be God after we chose to be our own gods. Why aren't you doing what I know you can do? John 11, 38 to 44. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Now, middle school kids, especially middle school boys who grew up in church, this was one of our favorite verses in the Bible. Because we only read the King James back then. And it was like, but Lord, by now he stinketh. So we really liked that. As middle school boys, we liked that whole Lord, he stinketh verse. He smells. The smell's going to be horrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, this is going to be cool. I love this verse. Watch this. Father, thank you for hearing me. Then he kind of says, well, you always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing. Isn't that cool? It's like he and his father have like his inside joke. Father, thank you for hearing me. Well, you always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. They've kind of reached now the second stage where it's not only God can, God will. They believe that God will. And they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't have the script. All they knew was roll the stone. And they said, it's going to stink. What did they do? They rolled the stone. They didn't know how. They believed God can. But now they reach that level of God will. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm going to roll the stone away. I don't know what he's going to do. But I believe God will do something. So instead of doubting him, instead of questioning, why aren't you doing this or that? All they did was hear what Jesus said and did what Jesus said, and they believed. And what they witness can only be described as the most amazing miracle. Lazarus is, and I'm going to use this word because I saw it this week and I thought, that's good. Lazarus is resuscitated. He was dead and he is alive again. He wasn't resurrected because he's still coming out with his body. Jesus was resurrected. Lazarus is resuscitated. And I don't remember who I was studying, where I got this from, so I'll give you credit, whoever it is. But it was interesting. They said that when Jesus was resurrected, the grave clothes were folded up and left behind. He wasn't going to need them anymore. Lazarus might need his again. So he comes out with the grave clothes still on him, but he is resuscitated. And we see this. God can. They believed God can. They believed God will. And God did. And we're going to see as we continue next week, because of this, many people believe. And that's the third step of faith. And for those of you who've been here a long time, I'm going to put a little twist on it. God can. God will. I believe. I believed God can. I believed God will. He did. And I believe. Now, I want to bring that. I want to make it a Monday morning message. You know, some messages sound great on Sunday morning. And you leave and you go to lunch. And man, that was awesome. We had so much fun. The pastor was on fire. That was a great Sunday morning message. And then you wake up Monday morning and it doesn't work. I've lived through a lot of those kind of sermons, y'all. Had a lot of fun on Sunday morning. I like to preach sermons that actually work on Monday morning as well. So we're just going to get real here. We all have testimonies. If you're not a believer, talk to any believer. We all have testimonies of these steps of faith. God can, God will, I believe. We all have testimonies of answered prayer, some small, some large. And every time we believe God can and God will and he does, our faith gets bolstered and strengthened. And we say, I believe. But every believer also has stories of unanswered prayers. Every believer can tell you times when they prayed, God can, God will, and God did not. Or he answered, really what happened was, he answered in a way that we didn't like. And believers, as I was typing out this message, I thought, we need to share those testimonies more. If we just kind of, if we keep our the times when God moved differently quiet because it doesn't feel good, and we only share all the stories where God does miracles, then that family sitting in the back who didn't get their miracles, like, oh, what happened? How come God always answers their prayers? Is it me? Is my faith not strong enough? Did I doubt? What happened? I think, believers, we need to be honest. And we need to share testimonies of times when God did not answer our prayers. When God answered in a way that we, you'll see at the end of this message, that is still going to be a testimony. Testimonies aren't just the great victories. Sometimes testimonies are, he didn't answer my prayer. What happens to most of us, though, is our answered prayers strengthen our faith. And our unanswered prayers weaken our faith. And I'm preaching this. Look, God puts it on my heart what to preach. So I guarantee you, some of you need to hear this today. This is the word you needed to hear today if you're listening at home. Because some of you are having trouble because God's not answering your prayer the way you want. And you may be like this gentleman that came to Jesus and he's telling Jesus about his son. I'm trying to get Jesus to heal him. It's Mark chapter 9, 22 to 24. So he says to Jesus, the Spirit often throws him into fire or water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And here's where a lot of us live. The Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I want you to know, folks, if you struggle sometimes between belief and unbelief, we all do. And you need to know we all do that sometimes. That verse sometimes, we all live that verse out sometimes. I believe, but help my unbelief. And so what I want to do for the rest of the message is I want to walk through those three steps of faith today. And I want to bring us to the same conclusion, no matter what prayer is answered or unanswered. We live in a fallen world, and we just need to know it and admit it and have our eyes wide open. It is a fallen world. It always has been since Genesis, when we original sin. Fallen people. That person sitting next to you that you think is the greatest person of faith is a fallen person. Every pastor, every evangelist, every great spiritual leader is a fallen human being. We have a fallen world. We have fallen people. We're all trying to find God through Jesus Christ. The whole idea of a perfect world and perfect people, that ended. It ended the moment we chose to be our own gods. It'll come again when Jesus returns. But until that day, it's not going to happen here. It's going to be a fallen world with fallen people. And because of that, bad things happen. And bad things happen to all people. The Bible even says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. So bad things are going to happen. And sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's consequences of our choices. Sometimes it's consequences of somebody else's choices. Y'all know when you make a bad choice, it usually just doesn't just affect you. It usually ripples out and affects a lot of people. So it might be consequences of your choices. It might be consequences of somebody else's bad choices. Or it might just be the circumstances of a fallen world. Sometimes bad things happen and you want the pastor to tell you why. You want me to, and sometimes it's because we live in a fallen world with fallen people because we tried to be our own gods and bad things happen. Sickness affects us. Disease. Horrible things like abuse happens. Hatred is in our hearts. Killing and death happens. And none of this was God's original plan for us. None of that. God's plan was perfect world, perfect people, perfect relationship with Him. This all happened because we chose to be our own gods. It's the result. Here it is. We chose to be our own gods. And the reality is, when it comes to us being gods, we stinketh. We stink. And anybody out there who's acting like a god, who thinks they're a god, or anybody you think's going to, we stink at being gods. And we never will ever be good at it. So everybody is fallen, and we're all going to have some suffering. And we all just need to be honest about it. And maybe something you're going through today, I know this message is a little heavy, but something maybe is dying. Maybe something in your life symbolically is dead. Maybe something is painful, or for all of us, a lot of things just stink. Because life can just stink sometimes. Life's hard. So what do? If this is the reality, Pastor David, and you're not giving me one of those feel-good sermons today, you're kind of bringing me down. What do I do, Pastor David, if that's what is happening? Well, we do what we're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We live by believing. If life just stinks, if you're going through something hard, we live by believing and not seeing. We live by faith. Okay, we live by faith. So let's talk about the three levels of faith. What's the first level of faith? God can. God can. So I got to get you here. For those of you that are believers, you're going to think, well, this is an obvious one. But it's not. There are people who don't even believe there is a God. And if there is a God, He's not interested. So why would I even believe God can? So a lot of people don't even get to this first level. I want to get us here today. Do we believe in an almighty, all-powerful God? I thought about this. It's basically we get a mulligan. We get a do-over from the first original sin. What was the first original sin? Will you let me be God? No, thank you. We'll be our own gods. So we get a do-over. We get to say, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm not going to be a god anymore. I'm going to let you be God. You are God. You are all-powerful God. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient. I'm going to let you be God. So if you're not there yet, I want to get you to the first level of faith. We believe God is real. He's not just some force, light beam thing. God is real. He loves us. He cares. How about this? God is actually active and present in my life. Do you believe that? He's not just some distant Bette Midler from a distance God. He's actually active and present in my life and wants to be. And you can be connected to God through Jesus Christ. So, first level of faith. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on, what is dead, what is dying, what stinks, what is painful, we're going to believe God can move in your situation. Step one. Step two, God will. Now, when I say God will, we're going to be tempted to do what they did. God will, but here's how I want you to do it. I want you to do it my way, God. So I'm going to believe you will move. And by the way, here's the seven steps how you're going to do it. Read my book, God, 12 Steps How to Answer My Prayer. So we tell him how to do it. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to believe God will however he wants to will. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So I believe God can. I believe God will. What do I do while I'm waiting? Because sometimes, we need to be honest about our testimonies. Sometimes decades pass before the answered prayer comes. Sometimes it's quick. We don't know. What do we do while we're waiting? Well, we do what they did. They didn't know why. He said, roll away the stone. They said, well, okay. It's going to stink. They had no idea what was going to happen. They just did exactly what he said. So what do we do while we're waiting? Well, you just do what you know to do. And it might be something specific. Maybe the Spirit tells you to fast. Or most likely, he's just going to tell you, just keep on living by faith. Just keep on living day after day after day. Sometimes we cry out, God, show me what to do. I don't know what to do. I've been praying, I've been praying, I've been praying. God, show me what to do. And God says, have you read the Bible? Because I've given you a word, and it's pretty big. Read the Bible. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I just think while we're waiting for God to move in a miraculous way, how about we just get into the Word of God and we just figure out how to live our best life as a believer? That's the best way to live your life while you're waiting for your miracle. Just do this. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, I just think Christians, so many things Christians are trying to force to happen right now out there. It's driving me crazy. I just want to see Christians do this. I think if Christians, if we just do this, we'll be better witnesses. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Just do that. If you don't know what to do while you're waiting for your miracle, just do the basics. Live your life as a believer. Keep believing God can, God will. And then when God does move, he answers. Small or large, recognize it. Parents, I've said to you before, teach your children when little things happen. Make sure they understand, you know God answered that prayer, right? Even if it's a little thing, you know God answered that prayer. Point it out when it's small, when it's big. Testify about it. Tell people, I believe God can, I believe God will, and you know what? He did. So, third step, I believe in Jesus, and it'll lead other people to believe. But what if God doesn't answer, or he answers in a way you don't like? Well, I just want to give you some encouragement today. It's not new. You're not the only one. It's happening to all of us. It's happened throughout history. It's happened from the very beginning, like chapter 3 or 4 of the Bible. Throughout the Bible, throughout history, God moves in different ways than people wanted him to move. It's just reality. You need to know that all believers have those kinds of stories. I was kind of worked in a lot of churches where you weren't allowed to talk about those kind of stories. You weren't allowed to talk about the hard stories because then it might bring people down or lessen their faith. I just think we need to be open about it and talk about it. We all have stories when he didn't move. Throughout history, y'all, great people of faith have suffered greatly. Even this man, Lazarus, you know the rest of his story? He dies. We don't know how. We really don't know much about him after this story, but I guarantee you he died. He just pulled out his grave clothes. He put them away in the drawer, pulled them out again when he needed them. Throughout history, y'all, great people of faith have died, even though great people of faith were praying great prayers of faith. And I've seen it happen. I've seen us do everything right. We did whatever the latest hot-selling book told us to do to get our miracle. And someone passed away. A loved one died. Or the answer didn't come. A marriage failed. Something bad still happened. It happens. So what do? We do the same exact thing that we do if he doesn't answer our prayer. If he answers the prayer the way I want him to, I do the same thing. If he doesn't answer the prayer I want him to, I do the same thing. God can and God will. If God does, I believe. God can, God will. If God doesn't, I still believe. No matter what happens. And here, I'm going to give you a key here. There was a man named Job in the Bible who lost everything. And he had all these people telling him what to do. His wife even said, just curse God and die. He had these friends telling him it was all his fault. And here's what Job said, Job 1:21 in the NIV. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. He gives and takes away. Remember that song? He gives and takes away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Whatever happens, he answers my prayer. He doesn't answer my prayer. Because the reality is, y'all, we will face times of unanswered prayer or when God answers prayers in a different way. What do? Am I going to let my faith be shaken? Am I going to let my faith rock? Am I going to leave church? Am I going to not believe anymore? What happens? Or will I just let it strengthen my faith even more and say, I still believe? Can I tell you this? Satan has no attack or defense for that third level of faith. If all you believe is first level, God can, and God doesn't, he can wreck your faith. If all you believe is level two, God can and God will, and God doesn't, he can wreck your faith. But if you get to that third level, God can, God will, I believe no matter what, he's got nothing left. He can't attack that. What's he going to do? Because no matter what he throws your way, you're just going to say, I believe even more. Oh, you're going to give that to me? I believe even more. Oh, that prayer didn't get answered? I believe even more. It just keeps strengthening and strengthening your strength and your faith. So, we all have Lazarus things going on. You're struggling with something. Something's dead. Something's dying. Something's painful. Something just stinks. Today, I just wanted to reiterate the three levels of faith. So whatever you're facing, God can, God will. If he does, I believe. God can, God will. If he does not, I still believe. Let me pray for you. Well, God, you know what we're going through. You know what each one is facing in this room. You know what each one is facing watching online. So God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just move in our hearts today. Those who are really struggling with something, bolster their faith today. Help them to take those three levels of faith today and stand strong no matter what is going on. Thank you, God. This all starts when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. We have a prayer we pray. There's nothing magical about these words. You can pray it in different ways. But you pray this prayer and you believe that Jesus is everything the Bible says he is. You believe it by faith because some of the things go beyond our brain. But we believe by faith, and today if you pray this prayer and mean every word, today you will be saved. It doesn't mean your life will be perfect and no bad things happen. It's a fallen world. But you will have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, leading and guiding and helping you in every situation. So pray this prayer. Mean every word in your heart. Today, you will be saved. God, I believe in you. I believe you are real, and I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless life. I believe he died on the cross for my sin and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me for all the wrong I have done. I am sorry. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.